Daniels responded on social media that he has been locked in on training camp, that he has a lot of gratitude for his time at LSU, and that he hopes the issues are worked out between his team and LSU privately. In Major League Baseball, the Tigers up on the Guardians 2-0, top of the eighth inning. Mariners lead the Yankees in the Bronx 1-0 after five innings.
Fox Sports Update on the Right Choice, KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, Senate Ag Chair John Bozeman says he will reconvene committee members in September to vote again on his farm bill package after it failed to advance before the recess. This after the proposal stalled due to Republican absences and Democratic backlash over food aid legislation. Democrats are demanding Republicans delay by 2 years the requirement that states share the cost of providing supplemental nutrition assistance program benefits starting next fall. Well, the U.S. trade deficit declined in June, but remains only slightly below levels seen before President Trump's second term. According to the Bureau of Economic Analysis, the trade gap narrowed more than 5% from May to $73.3 billion. This year, the deficit is down about 7.5% compared to the first half of 2024. Reuters says the decline comes after more than a year of tariffs aimed at reducing the nation's trade imbalance. Well, the national FFA continues to grow, reporting a record 1,053,847 student members during the 2025-26 school year. FFA membership increased 1.1% from the previous year, with students participating in 9,591 chapters across all 50 states. FFA CEO Scott Stumpf says seeing continued growth is a powerful reminder that students everywhere are looking for opportunities to lead, build meaningful skills, and prepare for their futures.
With EcoWorks EC from Helena, you can achieve consistent, superior performance from an organic pesticide. EcoWorks EC is a natural insecticide and miticide designed to improve sustainability and handling without compromising performance. It effectively controls a broad spectrum of insects and mites in a variety of crops and markets in both conventional and organic systems. Visit HelenaAgri.com to learn more about EcoWorks EC. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Ready to bring some new ideas back to your ranch? Then make plans to join other producers from across the country at the 2026 Grazing Expo, September 10th through the 13th at the Billings Hotel and Convention Center in Billings, Montana. Hear from leading ranchers and experts on cattle markets, grazing management, soil health, ranch business, and more, plus a trade show, career fair, live music, and plenty of opportunities to connect. Learn more and get registered at montanaglc.org/expo.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are mixed in afternoon trading following a softer PPI reading and lower oil prices, which is easing inflation concerns. Wholesale inflation fell in July. The producer price index, which captures inflation before it reaches consumers, rose 4.7% from a year ago, down from a much larger 5.5% increase in June on a monthly basis. Wholesale prices were unchanged after they declined in June. The report follows yesterday's consumer price index data that boosted investors' confidence that the Fed won't raise rates soon. Tech stocks are among the gainers, empowering the S&P 500 to an all-time high. Energy and healthcare are lagging. And shares of StubHub are down 16%, although the ticket reseller made more from the World Cup. Expenses were higher in the recent quarter as it handled refunds and complaints. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Should baseball players be the only ones judged on their batting average? I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
We're being treated to a barrage of column and commentary ridiculing those who urge aid to South Vietnam because failure to support an ally would have a domino effect on other allies elsewhere. James Reston of the New York Times, a week before Easter, discounted the domino theory as having no validity. He says that two small Asian nations can have no bearing on the real international problems confronting us. He says the domino theory is almost as obsolete as the game of dominoes itself. Strange that so many members of the press who insist that every statement ever made by an office holder be brought forth whenever they think he's guilty of inconsistency have never thought of making the record public where their own pontifications are concerned. These men and women write with presumed authority on any and all subjects and influence public thinking to a great degree. But would their influence be so great if, like ballplayers, their updated batting averages were published with their columns and editorials? Those familiar voices we hear telling us after a presidential address what it was we really heard. Those who told us Castro was no communist, Ho Chi Minh was another George Washington, and Mao Zedong and the Red Chinese were just agrarian reformers, never remind us of how often their pronouncements were wrong. For example, a few years ago, President Nixon made the hard decision to mine Haiphong Harbor and stop the flow of ammunition from Russia to the North Vietnamese. He made it on the very eve of the summit meeting in Moscow. All arrangements had been made for the trip, and most of the better-known news analysts who had accompanied him to Peking were all packed for the trip to Russia. His announcement of the action he planned against an enemy who'd been killing American fighting men for several years stunned these analysts and brought from them a flood of criticism. Eric Severide: I would suspect that the summit will not come off. That was the mildest, although it was delivered with an arched eyebrow. Charles Collingwood: certainly the Moscow summit meeting from which so much had been expected is now in jeopardy. Marvin Kalb: one casualty of the president's mining and blockade may well be his upcoming summit to Moscow. Those who began packing and dreaming of caviar are beginning to unpack and are returning to dry cereal. Well, that was cuter than the bare announcements of John Chancellor. The summit is in jeopardy today. Then there was Richard Valeriani's shocked question: how can they receive him now? Well, Ted Koppel answered him: I don't see how he can go. Edward Stevens said, the president's announcement will be pretty hard for them to swallow. It practically killed the prospects of a summit. So spoke the great modern-day pundits, most of whom then dutifully accompanied the president to Moscow a few days later to report on the very successful summit, which all agreed did much to lessen world tensions. To my knowledge, none has ever acknowledged the president had been right and they were wrong. Nor have they given credit to the mining and the bombing of Hanoi for finally bringing an end to our participation in the war and the freeing of our prisoners. Ironically, the Russians were so afraid the president wouldn't come that Henry Kissinger, at their invitation, was already in Moscow to calm their fears and assure them he would really be there. Tomorrow I'll get back to the domino theory and whether it's real or imaginary. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. I want to tell people, if you've gone to Cal Coast News today, you're going to notice there is no website. There is a website. We have a host, and we have a host that is one of the major hosts in the United States. Post offices, government offices, schools use them as a host because they're very reliable. They had an issue early this morning. Cal Coast News, if you go to the site, you're not going to be able to see it. They've been saying all day it should be up very soon, but it's still not up. But it will, as soon as the hosts fix their issue, Cal Coast News will be accessible again. As many of you remember, back with the paid parking issue in Paso Robles, you had a mass amount of the people in the community who didn't want paid parking in the downtown area. You had several business owners that wanted it, and you had the city manager, Ty Lewis, who started wanting it when he was a police chief because they could ticket and then hire new police officers. So there were some that wanted the paid parking, but the bulk of the community did not want it. But you had a city council that was doing what Ty Lewis wanted. You had people like Gregory and John Hammond and Sharon Roden who wanted the paid parking. What had happened, though, is you had several people in the community, when they couldn't get the votes from the city council, they used the Citizens Initiative. And in a rapid amount of time, were able to show that a vast amount of the community was signing those petitions. I remember someone telling me they went into a store and they said over the loudspeaker, they're taking signatures. People came to, they got 21 signatures in a thrift shop with people coming up and wanting to sign with the person that was standing there with a signature page. In the end, though, the city fought against it. First of all, the city has to approve the initiative. The clerk has to say, you're doing this correctly, this is all right. And then in the end, they said, oh, no, you did this part wrong. And they were trying not to let it go on the ballot. They always have the right to say, we'll go ahead and stop doing it and keep it off the ballot that way. But the cities very often fight back. Today, my guest is Debbie Peterson. She was a city council. She was, I think, on the Planning Commission, a city council member, and the mayor of Grover Beach. Since then, she's written books about the corruption in the county and also about good government. She has personally been involved in multiple citizens' initiatives to make changes. We're going to be talking about the process, the fighting back, and different issues with a focus on Grover Beach. But this is something that is done everywhere, and it is something that people in every community need to be aware of, how they fight back and what you can do if your city council is not listening to you. Debbie, thank you for very much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Karen. I'm very pleased to be here.
And Debbie, remind us, what are the names of the two of the books that you have written?
Well, the main one is Happiest: Corruption, Sleaze, Lies, and Suicide in a California Beach Town. And that's a story of the corruption I found as a council member and mayor. And then I have another two or three, and City Council 101 is probably the most relevant for anyone running for office because it tells you what you need to know before you get there. And they're both available on Amazon.
And you were brought up on the show yesterday. I brought up that you were coming on the show tomorrow, and Stu Jenkins brought up the initiative. Now, there's a group of people doing an initiative. You were a primary in the past two initiatives, but you're just a supporter of this one. Can you tell us a little bit about what is going on? What is the initiative about? How many signatures should you gather, and how is this moving forward?
Well, we have two initiatives, and one of them actually started out in 2024, and it was based on the fact that the city had been charged with illegally violating election law when they wouldn't allow us to circulate a recall because the city council didn't want it done. And so that one is to elect our city clerk so that the city clerk is actually the representative of the people rather than appointed by a city manager. That one is ballot measure A26. Then the other one that's getting the most attention right now is F26, and that is the No More Tall Buildings Citizens Ballot Measure Initiative. And that one has arisen out of really years of frustration, because back in 2004, the people of Grover started working very closely with the city to put together some wonderful plans for how they wanted to see it develop. And then during COVID, all of that was overridden. And now, of course, what we're seeing is 5 and 6 story height or 55 to 66 foot tall buildings going up in our coastal zone. And people are very upset about that. That was 1,256 people, which is 50% more than we needed, even when the city reduced the time frame for us to turn in signatures. That one was hugely, hugely supported by the people of Grover Beach, and very much so also by tourists and by people outside of Grover Beach, because the concern is that the public views that we voted for in California on a citizens' initiative 50 years ago to protect our scenic views, those are being obstructed now.
And that is something the city's, one of their goals was along the riverfront to have it open so people could see, you know, along the, right there along the coastline area where they could see the coast. And a 6-story building right there.
Coastal mountains. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And the problem is it's not just one, but there are 10 in the works right now. And of course the city is jamming them through as quickly as it possibly can now. But people have started to call Grand Avenue the Grand Canyon, because even though it's protected by the local coastal program, and even though housing, the law states really clearly that housing cannot override the Coastal Act, even though all of that happens, the city is doing it anyway.
Yes, this is kind of what I was talking about. I've noticed cities very often try to throw wrenches into these things as they move forward. When you have a bulk of a city council that wants to put in as many 5 and 6 story buildings in the city as they can, and you have the citizens saying, wait a minute, we were supposed to keep these areas, you know, the areas along where the railroad station is and over there right by the entrance to the beach area, that was supposed to be kept lower so you could see out to the ocean.
Lower with less massing, more landscaping, housing being secondary to serving beachgoers, and it would be a coastal visitor serving area. Yeah, so and there was a wonderful vision for that, and that is still in the code, but it's been completely ignored, as has some of the law, the law protecting the public views. that law has all been ignored by the city.
And I notice they very often find ways to fight back. They very often, you know, I have seen where they accuse people of incorrectly collecting signatures. They have the clerks then deny a lot of the signatures for different reasons. And the reason you guys, part of the reason you went after a new clerk, didn't this also have to do with the initiative process?
It did, because the city clerk was blocking the recall of three of the council members who at the time were pushing through some huge doubling our water rates, and people were very upset about that, and they wanted to recall three, and the city clerk successfully blocked two because it became too late by the time we managed to get it to court, but the third one, the recall of the final council member who had voted in favor of these huge rate increases, that one did get through, and it won with you know, resounding win, and also not increasing the water rates at that time won with a resounding win. So we have a great track record for representing what it is the people of Grover Beach want. Unfortunately, the city council has a terrible track record for enforcing what the city wants, and simply has not been listening. And what's so sad is the press and media will speak to the city manager who spin a story, and it's usually lies of omission. In other words, they don't tell you the rest of the law. And the press and media won't read the law. They won't read the correspondence. They won't fact check. And often they don't get, the people with the initiative or the concerns don't get a full hearing. It's simply the city manager's the authority, and what he says is truth, which is, in our case, almost never true. It is almost never the truth.
But I will tell you, I have noticed that the public does usually win. I mean, I know when you tried to recall three council members and they waited too long and you could only recall one because of issues with the city. And that is, again, even a judge said you guys had no right to do that. And
The judge said they violated election law. Yeah. Yes, they were convicted of violating election law.
They violated the rules to do it their way. It's very surprising to me how much of this game playing goes on with city councils, city managers. You know, I've watched city meetings where they talk about how something went down and why they stopped it. And sometimes it's absolutely inaccurate.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And unfortunately, in our case, we have a council full of yes men and women who, whatever the city manager and community development director want, they do. But that doesn't reflect the wishes of the community that were put together over a course of 10 or 15 years. And it certainly doesn't reflect their wishes today either.
And on the one man that you were able to put on the ballot for a recall, was he recalled?
He was recalled with resounding numbers, strong majority to recall. And then they appointed someone who represented the wishes of the people in his district, but who completely agreed, who opposed the recall in the first place. So it was a successful recall, but not success in getting the city council to follow the will of the people. And so there are some other people running this year that are much better at listening and have been taking the pulse of the city much more effectively. And if they get in, I think we'll have a very, very different situation at City Hall, which is long needed.
And one of the things I noticed, even on some people I've ended up thinking did a good job, and I've been watching city councils and meetings all over the county for decades. And I often notice someone new getting in. They're brand new, they're elected, and they literally listen completely to the city manager and the city attorney in the beginning. And I've had people tell me a couple years into that, you know, my job, the reason we have a city council, if the city manager and the city attorney and the department heads were all perfect, you wouldn't need a city council. They would do everything on the way that it needed to be done, but the city council is the two people they can generally terminate from the city council is the city manager and the city attorney. In some cases, they have more leeway over other department heads, but very often those are the two that they're responsible for. And they're supposed to be the checks and balances. They're not supposed to be the yes man. But I've seen some people that ended up being good council members, but their first year or so, they are really believing whatever the city manager and the city attorney tells them without question.
Well, yes, and the problem is that you go into this role, you're brand new to it, you may have had experience on a board, but you're actually being elected to a board of directors that is supposed to be directing, well, and to a board of legislators. You're making law. But what happens is you're so new to it, you're really dependent on the city manager and the city attorney to train you to do the job. And that therein lies the problem. And and that's why I wrote City Council 101, because I want people to understand their role and responsibility. And that responsibility is to represent the people of their community. And the role is to oversee the work of the city manager and the work of the city as a whole, and to create laws related to that. So it's not to be yes men to the city manager or city attorney. It is to represent the people.
I even had a city council, former city council person on my show. It was Sharon Roden. And she called him a great boss. The city manager was a great boss. And it was kind of stunning because he's not your boss. In fact,
absolutely not. And you are not an employee of the city. You are an employee of the voters.
Yeah, you're not an employee at all. You're doing service. It's service.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And that's how it was intended to be. Look at the George Washington model and you'll see a model, a public representative.
And but I think that's how we get into these holes where they're doing things that the public doesn't want. And they're not listening to the public. They're not listening to the vast amount of the public. And again, that's why the initiative process is so important to the community. Now, you have filed for this initiative, not you, but the group has filed for an initiative regarding having the 5- and 6-story buildings. What is the rule with is the initiative nothing higher than 3 or 4 stories?
Well, essentially what they want to do is they want to repeal the decisions that were made in 2022, where they started allowing these very tall buildings anywhere, pretty much anywhere along Grand Avenue, anywhere there's industrial or commercial zoning. So this initiative has nothing to do with residential zoning, doesn't change it at all, and it only involves our commercial areas and our industrial areas, and it limits those heights. And of course, what the YIMBY, yes, in my backyard, people are alleging is that that's going to reduce housing. In fact, it will create more affordable housing, because right now the housing that's being built is 2/3 occupied by out-of-town owners. It's second homes. It's not housing. And if they can limit the heights to 3 stories or 40 feet, it will balance these 10 66-foot high buildings that are going in or up to 66 feet. It'll create a balance. We didn't want any of those, but they're coming. There's nothing we can do about that, but we can stop them from continuing that. We can create a balanced skyline, a better balanced skyline, and maybe retain some of those public views. So, but here's the odd thing. You would think that that would actually restrict housing, but what will happen is developers will work within whatever the rules are. And if the rules are you can only have 3 stories, they'll just create smaller units, which will be more affordable. And 3-story buildings are much less expensive to build than 4- and 5-story buildings, because the 4- and 5-story buildings require a lot more insurance, a lot more structural engineering, and they're much more expensive to build. So by reducing those heights, we'll end up with more real housing that the people in Grover Beach and surrounding areas can actually afford to buy. Right now, there are luxury apartments or luxury condos that are running anywhere from, well, they're running at about $1,000 a square foot. So if you've got that reduces a bit. But some of them have been priced as high as $1.4 million.
And I've heard they're not selling. Can you talk about that? I've heard there's an issue, and some of the 1.2 millions have been reduced to 800,000. That they're not. There is not enough buyers for these condos.
Well, that information is very difficult to verify because it's not in our, I'm a real estate broker. It is not in our multiple listing service for the most part. And we don't know for sure. For sure the prices have been reduced. That we know for sure. And certainly it was said in a public meeting that only one of the three buildings that's selling is sold out.
We're going to finish this topic about pricing down there after we come back from a word from our sponsors.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Rich London, what's happening at the mattress specialist these hot summer days?
Well, not only is it hot out there, Gary, but the prices are hot in here. As you can see, Gary, I got mattresses everywhere. They're almost to the ceiling, but of course, it's getting used to that now. People come in, they go, wow, you're not kidding. I'm not kidding. I got things on sale because I'm constantly getting things in. I'm getting the deals for everybody.
The mattress specialist is at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
It's funny how the little things can make the biggest difference. Take hearing aid batteries. The batteries work just fine, but opening the package is another story. That's why Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists is proud to offer the new, easy-to-open hearing aid batteries. They're the only office in town stocking them. And for KPRL listeners, Peter has a neighborly deal. Buy one case of easy-to-open batteries and get one case free. Call 805-460-7385. 805-460-7385. Hearing Aid Specialists.
Mid-State Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Mid-State Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidStatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
Savage Spirits and Deli on 21st and Spring wants every military person to know that you get a discount at their store. They appreciate your service and our freedom. Savage is home to the Bearcat Sandwich, the Boys in Blue, and the mouth-watering fresh barbecued tri-tip every day. Be sure to ask for your discount for active military and veterans. Savage Spirits and Deli on the corner of 21st and Spring in Paso Robles.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. And today I have Debbie Peterson. She's an author and a former public official from Grover Beach. We're talking about the initiative process and what you do when councils do not ask what you want them to do. And Debbie, I know that there's a lot of building going on from North County. In some parts of South County, there's a lot of new development. I also see multiple things that are stalled, multiple developments that are not moving through. They've built some of the homes, and some of them they've stalled in the building. And there are some price dropping in some areas. Are there a lot of prices dropping in your area, or is it more just there along the big buildings along the waterfront?
Well, very interesting. The Gary Grossman Buildings, Coastal Community Builders, or sometimes called CCB, which is 8 of the buildings, of the 10 tall buildings, they are dropping prices. Interestingly enough, prices in Grover Beach as a whole have increased. Now, prices on condos have stayed steady, stayed pretty much the same for 18 months, but prices on single-family homes that have a garage, have a yard, don't have HOA fees, those prices are going up. And they're going up because if you've got a $1.4 million condo with no garage, no yard, and $750 HOA fees, then an appraiser is going to look at the houses with yards and all the rest of it, and they're going to say, man, those are worth a lot more than that. So it's driving housing prices way up in Grover Beach, to the point that they're certainly now pretty much the same as those you're going to see in Arroyo Grande, and in some cases even can compete or, you know, are similar to Pismo prices.
And I know for the last probably 5 years, the county, I think in the last 5 years, we had 1 year where the population went up and it slight decreases the other years. So we're not having increases in the populations with all the development going on.
No, Grover Beach has dropped, which is an argument that which proves really that a lot of the new homes are being built by, are being bought by out of town owners as second homes. But Grover Beach, even though we have a city manager who makes $400,000 a year and an assistant who makes $200,000 a year, even so, we've dropped from over 13,000 to just over 12,000 inhabitants. So we've lost 1,000 of our population.
That I've been watching the numbers, and you know, California is losing at times. We had 1 year where it went up like a third of 1% or a half of 1%, but the other years I've seen a steady decline in the population. Some people are leaving the state because of the cost, and that I know multiple people. I have another friend that's moving now to Tennessee. Part of it, and then you have families that are going, they're staying in California, but they're leaving this area because of the cost. And then you have the, a push, if you're undocumented and you're here illegally, there is a lot of self-deportation going on also. So there has been an overall reduction in the population while there's a lot of housing development going on. I think it'll be interesting over the next couple of years to see where the prices end up.
Yeah, it will be. And of course, we can't really predict that. But what we can say is, I can say that you would need a salary of $350,000 a year without much borrowing at all in order to be able to afford one of these $1.4 million condos. That only 10% of the people in the state make that much money. And I'd be very surprised if 10% of the people in Grover Beach make that much money. These homes that are being built are not homes for the people of Grover Beach or even San Luis Obispo County. They're homes for people who have more money than they need and can afford beautiful second homes, which they believe will have ocean views. But as they continue to put up more tall buildings all the way, every block right now, from the railroad tracks in Grover Beach on the north side of Grand Avenue all the way up to 7th Street, every single one has a full city block, lot line to lot line, of 55 to 66-foot buildings. Plus, they're building some back behind Grand Avenue, both north and south. So they're annihilating the views. And there are some on the south side of Grand as well. They're simply annihilating the views, and they're annihilating the vote of the people who said, we want to protect those views. They're rare, and they're few and they're far between, and we believe the public has a right to them.
And Debbie, we're going to take our top of the hour break, and then we'll be back with more with Debbie Peterson talking about what you do when your city councils do not listen to you.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.